Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. First, let's give everyone the call. Call in number 914-338-0164. We're waiting for some calls, so we're going to be able to have a little bit of a conversation. Do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us callers. And you may also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Again, 914-338-0164. And today we are talking about shutting down.
Shutting down, yeah. I don't know if it makes sense.
Well, but I mean,
I'm sort of drawing an analogy between shutting down, the country shutting down, things shutting down, and how that relates to when we shut down.
Individually.
Yeah, in an individual way. There are triggers that shut down. This was a virus that shut down. When we shut down in the individual way, shutdown can occur through depression, remorse, fear, the anxiety, in some ways anxiety, apathy, listlessness, things like this, that are basically, there's two roots of these things. One, it's purely psychological, and the other one, it is, its root problem is due to some kind of sickness. Now, psychologically speaking, it can be a sickness, but sometimes in our mind,
you're talking about sickness, meaning something physical rather than psychological.
Yeah, we have a psychological condition. We have a biological condition. If someone's in a lot of pain, or there's been a reason for a depression, somebody died, there's a root problem to that. It comes from a different root system in the first chakra. In the sixth chakra, it comes from a different root system in those chakras. If you're just chronically depressed and there's no real reason, you're just depressed.
No,
maybe it has something to do with the body, but
right, but no physical reason.
Yeah,
as far, I mean, as far as a person's physical circumstances, aside from any physical ailment, talking about their life or events that have happened, things like that. But that depression can be a result of past life. I mean, that's where it can be rooted. If we're talking about the root system of a mental illness,
yeah,
that has no obvious root in the present life.
Sure, depression can be the result of a past life situation, which gets more difficult to diagnose on a psychic level, but it can happen. There are ways to diagnose past life depression, but that goes into a different schematic system. You have to kind of probe energy fields and ask questions and get an idea of saying things that like a psychic would see from a past life and seeing if it resonates with the client. These things can come from that. And sometimes just when a person is enlightened, oh my God, I did this in a past life. That makes sense because in this lifetime I do this and this and this, and that's connected to that very idea. And I never told you anything, meaning the reader, to support the premise. You just came up with this, and it's enlightening me to see that it could be a past life situation since you saw it happening in a past life. Now, that's one thing. The other thing that can be confusing for a reader is that they see something that they believe is in a, from a past life, but really they're seeing just the energy that's occurring in the current life. Sometimes there's a fine line between doing a reading with someone and determining that you're really reading a past life as opposed to doing a reading with someone and just picking up their current energy in their lifetime and mistaking that for a past life. You have to go into more probing, to a more probing attitude to designate whether it's valid as a past life or just valid as a current life. But for instance, if the reader says, well, you were born in America, right? Yeah. And you've lived in America all your life. Yeah. Well, have you had any contact with Chinese population or anything? No. Well, the reason I ask is I see a lot of Chinese art around you and Chinese weaponry from the 16th century. Oh, my God. I collect that stuff, and I never knew why. Now we're on to the path of a past life. But if someone says, well, I've always been interested in the Chinese culture. I grew up with two of my friends were Chinese. Well, that could be some kind of past life tribal thing, but it takes away from the core substance of it being purely just a past life situation. But now we're talking about depression gets really vague because even a psychologist or a psychiatrist may not be probing
a psychiatrist
depression.
Doesn't really probe
for the reason. They just probe they just diagnose
and give medication. Psychiatrists usually aren't involved in a great deal of talk therapy. Not usually,
but the ones that do talk therapy and are equipped to talk therapy, it can be very good because they have the advantage of
the medical
using
degree,
the medical field,
right?
Supplement their diagnosis in conversation. Typically, a psychologist would have to be in team with the psychologist. And together they would come up with a plan for medication, which can be a real easy solution once somebody is diagnosed. But depression, you know, right now a lot of people are depressed because they're cooped up, they're out of work, they can't see their friends, their businesses are being destroyed. And their hobbies. So there's a reason, the end result is still depression resorting to something that is kind of down in the hill of emotions.
Well,
but
very,
there's a reason for it.
Yeah, and it's a very frustrating experience to go out in public. I mean, life has become much more difficult for the average person to live just because of all the restrictions that have been placed and, you know, all the rules that have to be adhered to and the fact that you can't breathe very well when you're wearing a mask.
But
yeah.
But look what it's done to our consciousness. If we walked outside in a normal day under normal circumstances and we saw somebody we saw five people wearing bandanas or masks on their face. Our mindset would be, what's going on? Why are they doing this? They must be sick or something.
Or you would think that perhaps they were coming to rob a home in your neighborhood.
Yeah, something like that. Now, with the same subject matter, we all look at each other and our consciousnesses directed towards those who don't wear masks. Well, you're not wearing a mask. See, our whole mindset is different. It changes the whole chemistry of our mind, our brain, the way we observe things. And with every given second, our energy changes. We get alarmed, we get depressed, we get fearful, we get happy. That registers a different chemical reaction in our brain, which goes throughout our whole body and affects ultimately our chakra systems and things like this. When someone is chronically shut down, whether it's for a given reason, and it can be pinpointed for a reason, and the end result is depression, or whether it's more ambiguous and the diagnosis is very monotonous and difficult to resolve, then it becomes a generalized depression that still affects the body, but we can't find the pinpoint. We can't find it, so it's hard to discuss. Even the most talented psychologists might have a hard time trying to find a reason for a shutdown in terms of depression. And they can be at their wit's end. If the person grew up in a nice family and nothing ever really happened to them bad, they can't just resort to a chemical energy in the body that might cause depression. We're all built differently. Well, so the impact of being shut down can come from several different sources. It's much easier to diagnose and treat when it comes from a source that can be identified. And then it can be worked out that way. But aside from that, when we are shut down, for whatever reasons, our whole body changes, our chemical energy changes, which brings up a kind of an interesting point. A chakra can be shut down. It can be shut down. So if a chakra is shut down, some people, the result of that, people become asexual.
Well, that's
they have no desire. People become mentally unstimulated.
Yeah, but a chakra can shut down. I mean, if you're a monk or a nun, and it can become dormant because of inactivity in that area, and it's not necessarily detrimental to the system of the person because they don't need that energy to be in the chakra. I mean, of course, a nun or monk is probably having relationships, so complete dormancy isn't totally likely, because they're probably still interacting in the world. So if we're talking about a second chakra shutdown, there are relationships still going on. But in terms of sexuality, there can be dormancy, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad.
Yeah, the approach, I mean, whether someone has the incentive, the willpower, or the drive to shut down a chakra, and they deliberately do it through willpower or discipline, or whether somebody is born with a very low energy volume chakra, so it's not that hard anyway. Some people are born with low frequency in their chakra system, and that could be due to past lives, or due to the element of discussion in the astral realm before they entered the earth, that some chakras are going to be shut down, and so they don't. They devote their attention to other energies. But people who have, like Freud would say, we all go through this sexual period, and we all go through an Oedipal complex or electrical complex of some sort. We all have experienced sexuality. Well, and he was a psychiatrist who did talk to his patients.
Yeah, but that was quite a while ago.
That was the father of psychiatry. Well, not, I mean, not literally.
Psychiatry
but
has
introduced a lot
changed
of
a lot since his time.
But the element of that, some of us come in with a very high intensity of chakra energy. Some of us are intellectually stimulated, you look at kids, they're reading books, they're solving puzzles. They're totally cerebral. I mean, on the playground, they're horribly clumsy. They have no desire. In fact, the playground builds anxiety in them. Socially speaking and individually, and on an individual level, the playground can be a frightening place for an individual like this. But give them a book, put them in a library, let them write a paper, they shine. Now, a lot of times, on the other hand, children find the playground to be their lifeblood and sports to be their lifeblood. In fact, sometimes kids like this happened with me, I was sort of balanced between the two arenas, but kids who were really physically inclined would seek out the intellectuals or the smart people to do their homework for them. That was in my case, but I was a big playground kid too. Tremendously big playground kid. But how about the awkward ones? You know, the spastics, they used to call them, that were just so isolated. They went to school, they had no friends, no socialization. They were made fun of in sports. They were almost ridiculed and isolated. Nobody picked them on the team. That put them through tremendous anxiety. If the teacher forced the kid to play ball, their shoulders would drop and go, oh no, you know, look who's up to bat. And it would just be pathetic. And sometimes kids like that sometimes they would become humorous and make their friends laugh and they become great comedians. So they use humor and intellect. I mean, some of our brilliant comedians were very awkward on the playground. And if it were not for humor, and a lot of them made fun of themselves at the expense of being, so they wouldn't be unpopular. So they would become clowns and make fun of themselves. And it was sad because I knew kids like this. Now, kids like this would still go home and I would follow them, and I was friends with some of these kids. So I was able to witness their history. They would still go home and cry and tell their mom they hate going to school and they have no friends. And I would be their friend, but I would be involved in the midst of their anxiety. Other kids, they don't care. They're just intellectuals. They're snobs. And they have wit. And they just put down other people. They just don't care. They just are bookworms. Look at the difference of energies. A lot of this is accountable to chakra. A high stimulus of mental energy. But I've known pure redneck, short-haired, gung-ho sports people who displayed an enormous amount of sensitivity and intellect and read, and they're well-rounded. So if we look at the balance of our chakras...
I guess they were rednecks, R-E-A-D.
Yeah, they were rednecks. Yeah, well-read. So look at the variety of chakra systems as how we come in. Because if we look at the, I mean, some sports people have to be intelligent because they have to memorize plays, and, you know, plays as in football, different formations. Yeah, on the football field.
Hamlet.
Where art thou, Rams? The idea of this is interesting because when someone has fear, let's say someone has fear in socialization, they hate going to school, they're always made fun of. I knew when I was going to school, there were girls who were somewhat unattractive and they would be tagged by having cooties. And man, they were picked on, oh God. And they just had no friends. Well, I remember in my experience, I would befriend these people. I just couldn't stand what they were going through. But think of the energy that people put out when they have to socialize and they're socially inept or not popular. The amount of energy that they have to do. Now that becomes anxiety in the sixth chakra. So now the sixth chakra becomes full of anxiety. And yet, the sixth chakra may be very intelligent and sensitive and artistic, but it's got this tremendous amount. So a lot of these kids grow up to be terribly talented and drug addicts, alcoholics. They suffer from severe depression. We often say to ourselves, why do famous people have such problems? Well, put it together. The energy of what makes them famous can be mixed with such, historically speaking, anxiety and fear and ridicule and ostracization that it can incredibly cause a conflict and a war in the chakra system. And here again, it may be a shutdown. The odds may be that the chakra becomes shut down, and that's when, unfortunately, talented people commit suicide or self-destruct. There are many people like this. Chris Farley, I mean, just mentioning people. Robin Williams had one.
It's weird that you mention him because I rarely dream about famous people, but he was in my dream last night. Robin Williams was in my dream last night. It was a bizarre dream. I had multiple famous people in different dreams, but in this particular dream, I was in a Mexican restaurant trying to order tofu, and they didn't have tofu for one of my tacos. And I was like, I want this tofu. But they said no. And they showed me this chart with a certain kind of beans. There was choice one. And the second choice was a different kind of like a white bean. And they showed these layers of this, like it was in a pot or some kind of clear pot container. And Robin Williams, and so I said, well, I want those. And then Robin Williams was at the table and he poured green hot sauce all over my food. And I was like, I always knew you were a jerk. It was so weird.
Well,
I mean, I don't really understand the relevance of that dream.
If a person had a past, let's say a person had a past life, a Mexico person had a past life in China.
No, are we skipping over the dream?
Well, no, because you said beans and tofu.
Oh, beans and tofu.
So a Mexican food.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
So
I'm sorry.
You had a mixture of energies regarding, you know, I mean, aside from maybe a laughing matter, but if you had a past life in Mexico, if you had a past life in China, the idea of we often use the idea of food and entertainment. Food is very strange because we think of food as entertainment, but yet food can make us sick. So we go to a restaurant and we have a great time. We're eating food, we're mixing cultures even, and we go home, we throw up. And we hate our meal. Well, such is life. I mean, sometimes, sometimes the cook, you know, if it, well, I don't know, maybe Robin Williams was a cook in your dream.
He wasn't a cook in my dream. He was sitting at the table and he made some obnoxious comment, which I don't remember. It was really strange. Really strange.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, the idea of that dream to me is a mixture of cultures. And I don't know, you know, we were talking about Robin Williams, I think.
No, we weren't.
There was something back where we were.
Something
about Robin Williams. Maybe it was the Lewy body dimension.
It was about the Lewy body dimension in relation to somebody. But I mean, it wasn't that recent. It wasn't like, you know, 2 days ago that we were having that discussion.
You know, it's funny. Clowns, Robin Williams was an intellectual clown. He was very
talented. I didn't think he was, I mean, I thought he was funny. I mean, I wasn't like a huge Robin Williams fan necessarily. I didn't like watch all of his movies. I'm not a big movie person anyway, but
he was a performance artist. I mean, he didn't sit and tell crack jokes so much as he had to perform.
His I mean, he was talking about spastic. I mean, he was somewhat spastic.
He had his bones, but he was great sensitivity.
Right, but I mean, he was almost out of control with his humor. I mean,
you couldn't constrain
him.
No, you couldn't. Johnny Carson would just sit back and let him do his thing.
Yeah.
But clowns, the thing about clowns is, you know, like Donald O'Connor, be a clown, be a clown. It's spontaneity. And clowns are like a cat. They have an element of surprise. They throw whipped cream on you, or they squirt you with the water, or they look at my flower and the water squirts on you, or they throw confetti at you. Clowns are meant to harmlessly surprise you and play with you and have fun. That's what a clown is, and they're equipped to do it. We're not talking about Stephen King's clowns. We're talking about Bozo and people like that. But the normal clowns, the clowns that don't have to wear makeup, the clowns that are clowns from within, they don't put on a costume so much as they wear a chakra. They wear an energy. And in terms of that energy, yes, indeed, there may be an element that even in your dream, there could be a spirit guide that was trying to humor you, that was trying to spur you up. And it could have been in the spirit of a Robin Williams.
Yeah, my vibe was that it wasn't really Robin Williams. I did not think he was really in my dream. I thought it was spirit energy too.
Yeah.
That was my interpretation.
It's funny, a lot of us humans are born out of spirit forms. They're general spirits, just like they have gods and mascots and guardian this and that for each trade. Every trade used to have an angel or a guide. There was the
trade
for plumbers, and everyone had their own energy.
Saint that protected them. That's obviously,
and there's
a
word for that. It escapes me right at the moment. But everyone,
patron saint would be.
Carpenters had one, plumbers had one. We all have these somewhat in circumference, this full circumference of energy that involves a spirit form. So there's the spirit, even in theater, there's the laughing mask and the sad mask. And we get into the idea of persona. And patron saints, it's called. Patron saints.
I already said that.
Oh, you said it?
Didn't you hear me?
No. You said patron saint?
Yeah.
I think when you said it, it didn't register.
I don't think
being
so.
Correct.
I don't
know
why.
I think you were correct.
Yeah, I know.
It's
was.
A patron saint. You're
patron
right.
Saint.
And it comes from the word patent. You know, we have a patent on things. So the idea...
Like General Patton.
Like General, well, he had a patent on military. But General Patton...
Actually, General would have been... when we were talking about the military, that was the rank I probably should have mentioned on the last show. General, that's a high rank.
Well, you
that's
know...
like one of the top ranks, right?
He believed in reincarnation. I think he thought he was Alexander the Great. He believed he was somebody else reincarnated. Another conqueror, and had a big belief in that, as much as he was hardened and disciplined. So we could come from a mold, not a mold, but a spiritual supreme
a
energy. Yeah, we come from a mold. Well, we do. But we can't come from a supreme essence of separate kinds of energies that are filtered through us, and we become that element of energy. Mathematicians, plumbers, artists, people like this.
Plumbers.
So
I don't know why you're saying. I don't know.
Get over plumbing problems.
Oh my God! And I always rank mathematicians and plumbers and artists on the same
and,
plateau.
You know, well, plumbers are weird because
why are
clowns.
I mean, how? I think you're a clown for comparing a plumber to a mathematician.
Well, I know. I get it.
There's
ridiculous.
Well, right, and yes, if you're good
in plumbing,
of course. But you know, being a mathematician versus being someone who fixes someone's toilet is like we're talking about very separate energy.
If I'm working on a math problem or I have a blocked up toilet, I'm going to call a plumber before I work out the math problem. So a plumber can be very valuable too.
Well,
and plumbers
not discounting their value.
They are valuable, but they're clowns. They're also clowns. They've been incorporated into the clown world because you think of the plumber's crack, you know, in the cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
Plumbers are... or somewhat clowns. You know, the plumber that comes and he gets on his knees and he's looking under your sink and that famous crack appears. You know, and you go, oh my God, yep, plumber's crack. Now, I have a crack in my plumbing and now I'm looking at a crack. Two cracks in one. Then you go to a crack to get over the problem. But the idea that we all, I remember we had a problem plumbing and nobody could figure out how to fix the plumbing. Mm-hmm. And this expert guy comes in who was part of the workforce of this plumbing company. And he just said, oh yeah, this is easy. And he just cut this and cut that and fitted something and it worked. And the other plumbers who were so professional, they couldn't even figure out how to do it. This guy knew what to do.
Are you talking about the liner?
Yeah, down here.
That problem.
And that guy had a crack. I noticed he had it. He was kind of.
I now remember which guy you're talking about.
He had a kind of crack.
He was.
But he was cocky, and he came with this big machinery, and he was fixing things.
But he did the liner too. Same guy.
Yeah, he did the liner. We're not talking about intestines here. We're talking about plumbing. You know, it is interesting when you look at people and when you start to classify. And what we stem this from the idea of classification of emotions, how some people are chronically depressed and just down. Who is that, Judy Downer or Debbie Downer that was in Saturday Night Live?
Debbie Downer.
You know, who always had something down to say, as opposed to somebody who's upbeat all the time. These energies are somewhat genetically connected. We come in with a system. We all come in with some attitude of a system already built in. It's in us. Now, this doesn't mean that curiosity and learning and laughter.
In terms of mental, what you're talking about are mental energies, aside from the biological energies that we come in with genetically. Our mental energies can also be influenced by the genetic makeup.
Yeah. And where does that come from? I mean, what root system? We can say, well, you're just like your father, you're just like your mother, you're just like your grandfather. But sometimes kids don't resemble anybody. Yeah, and where does this energy comes from? You know, if you go into genealogy and you try to go way back, well, your great 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 grandfather was in politics. Well, maybe that's the energy, but maybe it comes from another past life. So we jump over the fence sometimes, and we go jumping over the fence. You know, that's how we get mutts. That's how we get different animals. Breeds, crossbreeding, and new energies are formed. We are a combination of crossbreeding. We are a combination of energies. People who, you're born female, but yet you identify with the female sex, and you're gay, or you're queer, or whatever the term is now. Where does that come from? Is that is it traditionally your disease and you've got to get to the Bible, or is it
Well, it could be
just a condition of existence.
There could be a condition of existence. It can be also a condition. I believe it is in many cases, but it can also be a conditioning that, you know, if you're right, trauma can do it. I mean, but yes, people are born
to, and what is that gene? What is that energy? Where does that come from? That's why, you know, the value of being authentically gifted enough to look into past lives and to feel them and to be enriched by them to help explain one's existence. Not that it matters, but it can enhance consciousness and give somebody hope. I know in my lifetime, I've dealt with a lot of chronically depressed people. And I've noticed in the majority of cases that in the initial intimate interaction I have with these people, they lighten up because they're heard and they feel validated. And if you're wise enough, you don't criticize their life. You just listen to it and you uphold it. You validate it. And I've noticed in my experience that it's uplifted people when I do this, that they are lifted out of their depression. That doesn't mean that they're chronically depressed.
You mean you're saying that they're not, it doesn't mean that they're not still chronically depressed.
Yeah, they still they can call up every week and still, oh, I don't feel good depressed. And you talk to them for an hour or so and they go, well, thanks, that really helped. You know, and it drains out again, but the theme is connecting. What is this connection that is so important? And how well do we connect within ourselves to each individual chakra that we have so that we aren't shut down? Or that if we are shut down, it's healthy. It's healthy. We're going to shut this down, this chakra down, this chakra down. It's healthy. People will say, I'm done with relationships. I'm not interested in relationships. Does that mean they're unhealthy? Or does that mean they've had enough? They don't need it? We have a lot of clients who just say, I don't care about relationships. I have no need for it. I don't need to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or a wife. I'm fine with myself. In fact, I like being alone. I enjoy it. I like being alone. I'm not depressed. I don't have
friends,
and I'm not depressed. I'm very happy to be in my world. My world, and welcome to it. William Wyndon Thurber, James Thurber. The idea that we are a contrast of energy. So it doesn't mean that being shut down means that if you're isolated, you're shut down. It's a matter of the psychological state of your isolation and the circumstances involving that isolation. And that's where, at least in my experience, I've looked at chakras and said, well, this person's very isolated, but their chakra's healthy. I don't have to tell them, well, you need to get out more. They don't want to hear that. Some people, and then some people are comfortable. What's weird, some people are comfortable being depressed. They want to be depressed. Now, maybe it's because it stops them from joining. It keeps them locked into a situation where they don't have to be challenged. So they remain depressed. But man, I mean, being around people who are superb at being depressed and seem to hold on to it with a mighty force, a mighty grip, and they don't want to be out of their depression. That's where it gets weird, because you can't treat those people. You don't need to treat those people. You just have to accept them for the way they are. And it's interesting, because when I looked at people with those kinds of chakras, the chakra, even if it's a lower chakra, like a red chakra in the root, it's gray. It's not even red. It's just gray. And all the red you try to put into it doesn't change anything. So you leave it alone. is just dead. It's kind of like, you know, the skin on your elbow. You can pinch it as hard as you can, and you don't feel a thing. No matter how hard you pinch it, you don't feel anything. It's just dead. It's just the nerves there are dead.
I don't think I want to try that today.
I used to try that all the time, and I couldn't feel anything. You know, and I used to think, what is this skin here doing here? Why don't you feel anything there?
I can feel something when I pinch my... Okay, I tried it.
Yeah, well, some people maybe
can
feel it. But basically speaking, the skin on your elbow, you don't feel the same. And it's not like you go to the doctor and go, you know, doc, the skin on my elbow, I can't feel anything. Oh, we need to inject you with something so that when you pinch yourself, you'll feel it. No, he'll say, well, your nerves are dead there. There's no nerve ends there. I don't know why they don't give you shots in your elbow. Maybe because of the bone. You wouldn't feel it. If they just punched up the skin and stuck the needle in, you wouldn't feel anything. But there might not be...
It
might not be wired for that.
Right.
The bloodstream and everything.
Well, yeah, because usually... have to put... Well, no.
Your muscle.
When you give a shot.
Yeah.
And there's... I don't think they put, like, you know, shots...
Oh,
I mean,
I've seen them.
They do
they
shot.
They find a vein and they take blood.
Take blood from a vein, but if you're talking about administering a shot, they're not. I don't think they find a vein for a shot. Usually, they inject it into a muscle.
And
there's no muscle in
your. But I once saw a nurse.
Not much muscle in the elbow.
Blood from one of my veins, and then they put it back in. They stuck it back. I go, what are you doing? Back and forth. She didn't say anything. She just said, this is what we're doing.
Are you serious?
Yeah. She drew blood, and then she pumped it back in. I don't know what she was. Now, of course, it was this was happening at a gas station and an outhouse with a nurse. So I don't know, maybe that has something to do with it. But the idea that that our bodies are equipped for different energy fields, so are our chakras. And this is an interesting thing because what's happening to our chakra system during this crisis, this pandemic?
Quote.
Yeah. What is it doing to us? And how is it changing our consciousness? And how do we adapt? Big word is adaptation in terms of chakra systems. And what chakra systems are now getting over flooded because the other ones have shut down? Or do we just shut them down and we don't allow the other chakras to take the slack or take the excess energy? Well, we have to be very careful with that because as even what you were saying, when you wear a mask, you're protecting your breathing, but you're restricting it.
You're restricting it.
And
well,
you're breathing in what you're breathing.
You're not really actually with the mask. You're really not protecting yourself. You're protecting other people. They say, I mean, I don't know. There's been so many changes to what, you know, the protocols and what is safe and what works and doesn't work. And there's so much controversy over the size of the supposed virus and the, you know, the size of the virus itself and the holes in masks and the fact that the virus can get through a mask, whether you're breathing out or where, you know what I'm saying? If you're infected with the virus and you're wearing a mask, they're saying that the virus is smaller than, the small holes that are allowing the person to breathe in the mask. So, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. Even the shape of this virus. I remember when I was a kid, I used to love playing in the canyons. And the thing that I hated most of all were the birds.
Birds, that's what it looks like.
And it looks like a bird. It sticks. And those birds were horrible. They would hurt, you know, they got in it. If they went through your sock or something, you could feel them. And pulling them off was always a pain in the neck because you had your fingers, you had to pinch the thing and feel it. But, you know, that was different than a sticker. the stickers were long. They look like long little moss. The stickers are different. They look like spears or those airplanes you'd make out of paper. But a burr was round with spikes. And that's what the virus looks like. It looks like a burr to me when I saw it in the journals and stuff and how they depict it, how it looks in the microscope. So the idea that, and it sticks to the energy. Just like a depression can stick to us. And we seem to have a caller.
We do. I can't believe it. I don't know if they want to talk. 205, do you want to speak with us or are you just listening?
I was just checking in. I didn't know exactly what you do, but I saw you on Facebook and I thought I'd call in.
Okay. Well, what's your name?
My name is Lee Brannon.
Oh.
Lee what?
Well, we don't want your last name. L-E, is it? Tell your first name.
It's L-E-I-G-H.
Okay. All right. Apparently you're on our Facebook.
Yes, ma'am.
Facebook. Something. Anyway, where are you calling from?
I'm calling you from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Not too many. We get some Southern callers, but not too many Alabama. How do you say it?
Alabamians.
Okay. So, Lee, what we typically do is give callers readings. I don't know if you have a specific question.
I'm going through a lot of different changes right now. I mean, anything that you feel in your spirit, that might help me would be beneficial.
Okay. What's your birth date?
2/14/66.
Yeah. So I was saying I was getting a 4 and your day contains a 4, 4, 5, 6, 7, 17, 12. Well, you're a 29/11 too, which can be complicated. Complicated because you're compounded.
I'm complicated.
Well, you're okay. Compounded mass. Did I add that up wrong?
Yeah, 29/11 too.
Okay, no, I added it up right. So compounded, complicated because you're compounded. So what happens in your number system, Lee, is that when you add up all the numbers in the birth date, the numbers have to be reduced. From 29 to 11 and then again to 2 to get a single digit. So, and that can mean an extension of karma. And right now you're saying you're having some troubling situations. So
yeah, typically, Lee, typically there'd be troubling relationships. You'd have trouble finding a grounding of relationship. So that would be one thing.
Yeah, I do have one of those in particular, actually.
Yeah, you can share that with us because that would be, that's part of your energy field that for one, in your soul, you came into the earth with that theme. You do have ultimately the ability to find a partner that is really great because your energies are 6-6 at the end, and that's terrific. You have a 2/1/4 at the beginning, which is a broken up 7, which is some sense of regaining spirituality. I am getting a lot of animals or a love of animals around you, but you can go ahead.
Oh, yes, I love animals.
Yeah. You can go ahead and share with us your experience with this person.
Well, this person just had a lot of good energy, it seemed, like really high energy, which I enjoyed being around. But it seemed like no matter what I did or said, they perceived it as a negative, and would pound me with a negative response, even though what I was trying to put out was a positive response. But I was getting a very negative response back, which ultimately just led to them just deleting me from their post, from their Facebook page.
Kate, was this a romantic connection or just a friendship?
No, it was for me. It wasn't for them.
Wait, you were interested in
it was romantic for me. Yes.
So there was never any actualization of the romantic relationship, but you had feelings for the person. Do you know that person's birthday?
I don't. I'm sorry. I know they're Gemini.
Okay. Maybe born in June, but I don't know. June or July, I think.
May.
Oh, May. May to June, rather. Yeah. And then, okay. May to June. But in any case, can you give a quick example, Lee, of what, like, an example of that interaction that was?
Well, they really helped me. I was going through a lot of trying to get sober type thing, and they helped me tremendously in doing that. And then just out of the blue, deleted me for no reason, really. Just after they had helped me, they deleted me. And so this went on for like 2 years of a deletion, and then they popped back up. They undeleted me, and I thanked them for helping me. And they just blew it off like it was no big deal. Like, you know, it didn't mean anything to them. They were just there at the time, and I expressed that how much I really appreciated it, and they just deleted me again.
Are you sure that they I just want to make can you see their profile and that you're not friends, or are you completely unable to see?
Oh, yeah, they definitely deleted me.
They deleted you. You're sure that they didn't just deactivate their profile, because I deactivated a profile recently and on Instagram, and looks to people like I deleted them, which I didn't.
Do you think, Lee, the person perceived that you had romantic feelings?
Yeah, they did.
That's probably.
Well, I think it made them feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah. If this person was helping you through your sobriety and was placed on the earth to help you through that process,
right?
Typically speaking, in a classical therapeutic situation, a patient, in classical definition, a patient isn't supposed, you know, they fall in love with their therapist. The therapist has to draw some lines immediately.
Well, and then, I mean, doctors don't.
Yeah, they weren't my therapist. They were just a friend. They were just. In the sense of spirituality, they were there to help me.
Classically speaking.
Yeah, classically. In a classical sense. This person their role may have been to help you get used through your sobriety, but in their mental conditioning, they may have felt that in that connection, that you were crossing a line that they weren't comfortable with, because they were there to help you, not to be romantically involved with you.
But exactly.
It still
hurt though.
Oh yeah. God, yeah.
It still hurts my feelings.
Yeah, because the rejection.
I'm a very sensitive person. Yeah, I'm very sensitive.
Yeah. And as you know, as someone who is guiding you in your life, if that person had a problem with your romantic feelings, then a boundary line should have been drawn, rather than them discarding you. Because classically speaking, a patient isn't discarded by the person that's treating them. So that wasn't handled right.
I would think you're right about that.
And I think that in you know, if we're talking about were they like involved in AA or something like that?
Oh no, strictly we were friends on Facebook. I've never met this person ever.
They
went through years of this with me, years of it, and basically when I got clean and sober. Basically just ditched the whole thing and then came back. Like I said, came back. And when I expressed I did get romantic feelings towards them. And when I expressed to them, I didn't express my romantic feelings, but I expressed my love and gratitude to them for helping me. I think it just made them feel uncomfortable again. And so they deleted me again.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean,
like
that's
I said,
just
they have real high energy level, which I enjoyed being around. And I think they were just on a higher level than I am, and maybe it's just, you know, just one of those things.
Yeah, you know, in the emotional energy field, when it starts to get into the attitude of love and maybe into the front door of sexuality, that could lead to that. That might have, the person didn't know professionally or emotionally how to handle it. So there was an immediate block that occurred. What you were left with was rejection. That hurts because the door slammed in your face. And that
basically that's was the deal. I mean, they did say to me, you know, you talk like we're lovers, and I just helped you, and that's it. And I said, you know, what else can you say? I mean, and they just deleted me after that. So I guess I just really made them feel uncomfortable. But yeah, the rejection hurts, and I'm praying and dealing with that. I'm just trying to pray through that, actually.
Well, we put out our support for you. Rejection is a horrible thing to feel, and you were bold enough and vulnerable enough to express your feelings for this person because you obviously became more than emotionally involved. You really identified and felt supported by this person, and then got a rude awakening that's not what this page they were on. So what you have to kind of do here, Lee, is respect their space, honor your space. Don't let it get to you to where you have to be crippled. There will come a time you are going to fall in love, and it will be reciprocated. It will happen. This wasn't the proper setting. This was more about loving you and to the extent of helping you get through a problem, a condition. You're going to find love.
Right.
What you want to find, Lee, is love that returns to you without struggle. You don't want that struggle. It will happen. You just keep your, you know, you're 54, I think.
Yes, yeah. I'm 54. Thank you.
Yeah, you're going to have it. It's going to happen. We're not saying that as a hopeful note. We're psychics. It's going to happen.
Okay.
Your code suggests it.
Well, thank you so much for receiving my call. I really do appreciate it. I see you a lot on Facebook, and I haven't called in once before. It's been years ago, actually, when I was going through what I was going through to get sober and all. I called in, and you were very helpful then. That's been about 4 years ago, and this is the second time I've called in. So what you've said has really, really helped me a lot, and I agree with it.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I'm glad we were of help. And continue to follow us, listen to our show.
I will.
Peace, Lee, take care.
Okay, can I continue to listen to your show?
We actually are, we're done, but you can hear the archive on the show post. All you need to do is click on it on the Facebook link.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
And actually, Lee can find us on iTunes as well. She can find our complete show archive there as well as on Blog Talk Radio. But we are done for the day and the week, so we will speak with you next week. Bye-bye.